from Mark chapter 1, verse 14 and following. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And he went a little farther, and he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were there in the boat mending their nets. Immediately he called to them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. And now from Jonah chapter 3. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, "Get up and go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to it the message that I tell you." So Jonah set out and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly large city, a 3 days' walk across. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's walk, and he cried out, 40 days more, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast, and everyone, great and small, put on sackcloth. And from verse 10, when God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. Friends, this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Johnny Erickson Tata was a beautiful young lady that had just finished high school. She was preparing in a few months to begin her life anew as a college student. It seemed that this lovely, athletic, vivacious young lady had the whole world before her. Just 12 months prior, she had attended a youth camp and made her personal profession of faith in Christ. She claimed the love of our Lord, as all who believe in him claim life, and love is the invitation of the gospel. Johnny claimed that as her own. And after she made her profession of faith, she began to be very active in her faith. And she shared this prayer with God. She said, "God, I give my life to you to use in a mighty way for your glory." So as Johnny was preparing to enter college, she was out on a summer swimming trip with her sister. And Johnny, being the athletic type she was, she swam out onto a raft, stood on the raft, and then made what she said some kind of a silly dive into the Chesapeake Bay, into water that was much too shallow. A boulder was just underneath the surface. She hit the boulder and her neck bent back immediately. Her vertebrae was snapped. And she instantly became a quadriplegic for the rest of her life. Johnny said, "I grieved. I hurt. I suffered." And months into my tragedy, some friends took me to a prayer service, a healing service with a local evangelist. She said, "I felt certain this would be my chance, the opportunity for God to restore me, to relieve my suffering, to restore motion in my arms and feet, that I could serve him in fullness once more." But she said the restoration didn't come. Her prayers, it seemed, went unanswered. Her appeal for deliverance was not given. Johnny said, "I became bitter, angry, depressed, overwhelmed with peril in my life, and angry Yes, even with God. She said, I remember thinking, God, if this is some kind of a cruel joke of how you want me to serve you and how you answer your prayers, then I will never trust you with a prayer of mine again. That was the depth of Johnny Erickson Tada's anger with God. And you know, if we're honest, as we journey in life and faith, as we go through this world with family and work and school and challenges, certainly we all have those circumstances or times in life where we feel we didn't get what was fair. We were dealt a bad hand. Maybe not to the level of Johnny Erickson Tada, but some other prayer went unanswered and some other peril engulfed our life and family. We too, when we're honest with our emotions and our pain, see anger and perhaps even times anger with God creep to the surface. We wouldn't be the first. Since there's been relationships with God, people have wrestled with their feelings, with their questions, with their whys, with their anger. In our scripture today that I shared with you from the book of Jonah, for many of us, we remember the story, as I share with our young disciples today, of a well and a man restored who went on to preach the gospel. A beautiful story that we learned from as far back as Vacation Bible School. But in the midst of this story of Jonah, when we hear that he preached and Nineveh repented, the people that Jonah didn't want to repent, when they received God's grace and forgiveness, Jonah became bitter. Here's his response in chapter 4. As the Ninevites repented and turned to God, and God changed his mind about the calamity and did not do it. Here's Jonah's response. But this was very displeasing to Jonah, and he became angry. So angry, our scriptures tell us, that he wanted to die. So angry, he felt so betrayed by God that he just didn't know if he could keep going. That was the depth of Jonah's despair. Much like Johnny Erickson Tada's. And the peril and questions of suffering, and when we don't get what we expect. In our scripture today from the gospel reading, we hear another familiar passage. One that oftentimes is a call for us to embrace the faith and go forth and make fishers, believers, followers of Christ to all people. The text that says, I will make you fishers of men, fish for people. And it sounds like a cute, cuddly text until we learn and remember what it was to be a fisherman in the first century world. It wasn't lifestyles of the rich and famous. It wasn't easy street. The fishermen lived in the more rural settings. They didn't have the luxuries of Jerusalem. They lived where they were often ostracized and alienated from others. They had to work at night on the rough and raging seas, where their lives were oftentimes at risk. And then there were the financial challenges. What if the fish didn't come in? Would they have enough to feed their family, to pay their bills, to keep a roof over their head? In our scripture today, we're given a hint of the challenges that faced the fishermen. Did you hear that as Jesus called the sons of Zebedee, what they were doing? The scripture tells us that they were in their boat mending their nets. Imagine if the nets were full and you thought you had that one catch that was going to get you set for a whole month, and then the nets tore and devastation came once more. No, friends, the life of the fisherman was not easy. And can we grasp together that as Jesus places His call before them to follow Him, to go with Him, to believe in Him, that they were going to embrace the same suffering that they'd already known? Because they were going to be fishers of men. In other words, Jesus may have been saying the life you know is hard. The life you know is filled with suffering and challenges and troubles. And so will it be when you go with me. You see, there was a time in my life, in the words of Fred Craddock, that I believe that when we choose Christ, there is no suffering. But then as I lived in my faith and grew in my faith, I learned that to be with Christ is not to be without suffering. But where suffering is, friends, there is Christ. Jesus said it this way. In John 16, just as He was about to leave His disciples and embrace the cross of Calvary for you and me, Jesus said these words of life. He said, "My peace I give to you. I've said these things so that your hearts will not be troubled." In this world, Jesus said, in this world you will know trouble. In this world you will know suffering. In this world you will know loss. But take heart, for I have overcome the world, says the Lord. You see, Johnny Erickson Tata went from a bitter, angry young lady to being one of the most prolific authors of our time. She's written over 40 books. She speaks all over the world words of inspiration and courage. She's a renowned artist that paints with a brush between her teeth. And she said, "It's not easy. I don't have this quadriplegic stuff perfected. Life is still hard. And I pray every moment." She said, "Every day, every breath, Jesus, give me the strength I need to continue on." Johnny would say this: what changed for her and delivered her from her anger is when she realized this, her words, not mine: "Jesus didn't die on the cross to save us, friends, from the temporary suffering of this world. Jesus died on the cross to save us from the eternal suffering of hell." Isaiah the prophet said this in Isaiah 43. He said, "When you pass through the waters, says the Lord, I will be with you. When you go through the fires, they will not set you ablaze." See, God never promised that we won't go through the fires. And the water won't be up to our neck in this broken world in which we live. He didn't promise that to the disciples when he called them. And he doesn't promise it to us. In fact, as I said, he says just the opposite. In this world, you will know trouble. But he has overcome the world. So the question the disciples answered that day when they followed Jesus, when they dropped their nets, when they immediately hit the road with the Savior, had already been answered for them. Why did they follow? If they would still suffer? Why did they go the way of the cross if there was still to be troubles? See, they knew the answer to the question that although they would still know troubles and sufferings, they would know it with the Lord. He is with us. Our scripture tells us He is with us to comfort us and deliver us, so that we will not be overtaken by the brokenness of life. The Cherokees have a story of the rite of passage of a young brave, is that they take them out into the wilderness and they blindfold them just as they're becoming adults. And they have to stay the entire night without taking the blindfold off, alone in the wilderness with all of the risk and danger. The story goes of a young brave that went with his father and his grandfather and his uncles, and they delivered him to the darkest, deepest part of the wilderness. He placed the blindfold upon him, and as he heard the steps leave his presence, it became eerily quiet. Then the wolves started howling. Then the owls began their screeches, and he stayed awake all night, terrified and plagued with fear. And just as dawn began, he could see the creak of daylight under his blindfold, and he jerked the mask from his face, and sitting right near him was his father, who'd been there the whole night. Why do we follow Jesus if they're still suffering with Him? Because where suffering is, there is our Lord. I find it intriguing that our text today begins with Jesus ministering in Galilee. You know about Galilee? Gerald can tell you about Galilee. He's been there. That's where the poorest of the poor live. That's where people seeking for restoration from their physical illnesses went. They had the hot springs of healing in Galilee. The poorest of the poor, the broken of the broken, were in Galilee, friends. That's where Jesus set up camp to minister in our world, where there was suffering. And isn't it beautiful that just as our Lord ascended into heaven, after the resurrection, He said to Mary, He said, "Tell my brothers to go and meet me in Galilee." And as Jesus stood on that mountain in Galilee, He said those words of life to them, as He says to us, friends, in our loss, in our brokenness, in our questions, He said this: "Remember, I am with you always until the end of the age." Or perhaps it's better understood this way: I am with you always until the suffering of this world is conquered forever. Amen.